It's good to see everybody out and be here again. I want to welcome all the visitors that are with us this morning. So encouraging to be able to be here, to look out, to know that we, as brought out earlier in the announcements, just to have a decently full auditorium, to be here. Of course, when you have more people, the singing can just be so much more. Even if you don't sing out loudly, it's just more people, the more voices, it gets. And so it's just wonderful to be able to see that. Hope that everyone had a good week and hope that everyone's doing well. I hope that we've already been uplifted as we've gone throughout our service. 182 supposed to be there at all?
I've just finally figured it out. Go ahead. You'll get there.
Did you add another song?
No. I don't know what the first few songs were from before.
Yeah.
But Mommy Coon was a song we
started. I didn't take out songs from Wednesday. That's what happened. All right.
Keep going. You ain't there yet. So if this is the case, 283 will be our invitation song.
There you go. All right, we're going to talk about sacrifice today. When you play with technology, you sacrifice having technical difficulties. So, it is something we need to think about as we continue each and every day. We live our lives on this earth. We open up our Bibles in Romans chapter 12. We'll go into more detail about these two verses later on in the lesson. Romans chapter 2 and verses 1, or 12 verses 1 and 2. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we open up our Bibles and we study it, we study and find, and a lot of times we go forth and push it on one another, that we need to learn to be content. And it's an excellent lesson, an excellent point that we need to know and understand and how to be. As we could go to Philippians chapter 4, and I like to quote verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what Paul was talking about when he talks about being content in that point, that he can overcome all temptations, that he can be satisfied with whatever God gives to him or takes away from him, that whether he is shipwrecked or he is under a house with a good roof, that he don't have to worry about being homeless, he's got food, or whether he's starving, he can live faithfully to God. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. That's what contentment, when you read through the Word of God, is often mainly talking about. It's learning how to be satisfied and not allow our desires of this world to overcome us. And that goes along with the lesson this morning of that we have to be willing to make the sacrifice to get rid of those things sometimes, because if you have the love of money, and you're not willing to put that money behind you, then eventually, if you're not willing to make that sacrifice, then it will overtake you, because the love of money is the key root to all kinds of evil. But when we get content with the Lord, it's more the mindset that I'm trying to set for this morning. We get content in our faith. We get content and just taking it easy as a Christian. As a follower of God, we look to be comfortable and not stir the waves and not to mess it, you know, keep everything floating smooth. Which it's nice when things do go smoothly. But often that means we're not trying or willing to make sacrifices. We're not willing to stir up anything. As, you know, we talked about this morning and studying Joshua, so easily we get caught up and looking at how the rest of the children of Israel reacted to those on the other side of the Jordan. And we think, man, they were prepared for war. That was an overreaction.
But you got to remember that they have gone through where men died because of the sin that other people were committed. That the Lord would punish them because they allowed sin inside of Israel. And when it comes down to it, that the past has always shown that you have to rid yourself of that sin for the wrath of God to stop. And so they were ready to do that. They were ready to do what was needed to do. They were willing to make the sacrifice, to even go to war with their brethren. And that would mean, you know, half a tribe of Manasseh going against the other half of Manasseh. So, I mean, you're talking within the same tribe going against each other. They were willing to make a sacrifice. Sacrifice still has to be made today. We have to be willing to give up things. And I'm not talking about going forth and buying yourself a bull, finding the altar, coming to me as your preacher. I'm not the priest that knows where to cut the bull's throat, start sprinkling on the tabernacle. That's not what I'm talking about. We do have to make sacrifices today. I want to talk about that. First of all, I want to look at two examples of sacrifice. Those who've already made a sacrifice for us. So the first one I want to go forth and talk about is God's sacrifice. That God has made a sacrifice for you. Our Father up above has made an ultimate sacrifice. And we take and look at what a sacrifice is to what He has done and ask if we are making sacrifices today. As we go to John chapter 3, verse 16. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes..." "Whoever believes in Him and does..." "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." As we consider that, what that verse says, and again, it is a quoted verse, thrown out verse, and a lot of times we just focus on God loves us. Do we understand? Do we truly understand how much God loves you? Listen to the sacrifice that God has made here. God gave His only Son. And when it says God gave His only Son, we remember, and we'll talk about it more here in a bit, of what all Jesus went through for you, for me. God sent His Son to do that. It wasn't say, "Son, go figure out what needs to be done." God knew what needed to be done. If you are here this morning, you have children of your own. You can sit there and consider whether or not you would be willing to sacrifice any child of yours for anyone else. I mean anyone. A friend. A family member. How about your enemies? Who would you be willing to give your son up, your child up for? That's what God did. God gave His Son. Not did His Son just choose to go do this. It wasn't a situation where God couldn't stop it. But you turn along with me to Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, turn along with me there. Read verse 53. Matthew 26 and verse 53. It says here, "Or do you not think," here Jesus speaking, as the apostles have reacted to Jesus' betrayal, Peter pulling a sword, cutting off the ear of one of the men. And Jesus telling him, "Put him away. Or do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" That means God has the power to stop it. God could have kept His Son from being beat, from being scourged, from being whipped, from being nailed on the cross and being spat on. God could have stopped it all. He has the power. He has an army of angels that he could have sent down. And again, you know, you have the power to stop something from happening to your child, from your child going through the suffering and through the torment. Would you be able to hold back? Would you be able to keep from stopping this situation taking place if you knew somebody was beating your child? Somebody was doing wrong to your child and he does not deserve it. Again, I'll tell you now, if you see my son doing something and he needs a spanking, you give him a spanking. But if someone's doing something to my child and none then do something he has not done, I'm going to intervene, bro. If I can. God did not intervene. He did not stop it when he could. You go to chapter 27 and verse 51. Again, knowing God saw everything that took place. God was present as everything took place to our Lord and Savior. That God has power. You read here in verse 51, this is all that God does at that time and moment. It says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. God witnessed it. Often we read the part where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is quoting and putting everybody's mind back to what David had said. Understand, this is proof that God had not forsaken the Lord. That he had not forsaken his only son. That he was still there with him. And that he saw this take place. Because when his son died, God shook the earth. And oh, he could have done so much more. Again, I ask, would we be able to do such a thing? He made a sacrifice. He gave something up precious. It was a large cost so that our sins could be forgiven. So that we could have a home in heaven. So that you could have a home in heaven. God made a sacrifice, God. Sometimes I think we throw it out there. Sometimes we just, you know, oh, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. We know what sacrifice means. Do we understand that it means that you're willing to pay a large tribute? That you're willing to put away other things that are dear to you? Sacrifice is not cheap. Again, we look at God, but we look at what our Lord went through. What all he went through. He is our sacrifice. Jesus is your sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. Jesus. When we read about Jesus, we go to John chapter 1 and verse 1, knowing that he was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Nothing was made without God. Our Lord and Savior, there since the beginning of time. Jesus, who did not have to taste death because he is eternal. Jesus, who did not have to feel pain because he was living in heaven. Jesus leaving beautiful place to come down to this world. Jesus made a sacrifice just by leaving heaven and coming down here. Going from being served by angels and worshiped by angels to becoming a little lower than angels. It's a sacrifice he was willing to make. Turn along with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah in chapter 53. Again, remembering that Jesus is going through all this for not his crimes or his actions, but yours, for mine. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." He was stricken. He was beat. He was bruised by the stripes, by the whips, by being beat are our sins. That blood that was shed while all this took place is how your sins are washed away. Jesus made a sacrifice. Jesus was willing to sacrifice his life for you and me. So we read about it again in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. When you read along, it's supposed to be verse 26, not verse 6. Verse 26. There it says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus and delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, gathered the whole garrison around him, stripped him, and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in the right hand, and bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of Jews!' Then they spat on him, took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put on his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified." We know when he faced Pilate, or when he had approached Thomas, he was able to tell Thomas, "Feel my hands, feel my side. Go ahead and touch it. See the proof." Left marks. What Jesus was willing to go through for you. Now again, throughout the remaining of the lesson, continuing on this, sit back and ask, have you made a sacrifice for God? Do you make a sacrifice to serve the Lord? And all that Jesus went through, as we read through here, we read about it being prophesied in Isaiah. You can go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and read through there as it's telling us that we need to be following in his footsteps, that we need to be looking to him as our example. Because when he went through all this, when he was beat, and when he was scourged, and when he was struck, and when he was threatened, and when he was cursed and spat on, he did not return any of it. He did not fight back. He did not threaten them. Rather, when he does speak and he's on that cross, he says, Father, forgive them. That's a sacrifice. He gave his life for us. He was willing to give his life for us. God demonstrates his love for us. How? Because Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Again, remembering that this is not saying I had to make a choice between one child and the other because I couldn't save them both. And you love them both. Or it's not the choice of I love my child and I don't know this person at all, so I let that person die and I save my child. This is while we were still sinners. We go to James chapter 4 and you read verse 4 and you read through there. It tells us adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. This is why we're in sin and that we are against him and we're in rebellion and that we have not accepted the truth. That Jesus died for you. In hopes that you won't remain his enemy, but that you'll turn to him. So we have to come down to the question is, what's your sacrifice? What is your sacrifice? Money? 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, where it talks about giving upon the first day of the week, concerning the collection of the saints. As he has given orders to others, he gives order to the churches in the church here in Corinth. And as we take that example, we do it today, that we lay by in store as we have prospered upon the first day of the week. But I ask you, are you truly giving anything? Or are we just grabbing what change is in our pockets? A dollar or two here and there. Mark chapter 10. And in verse 21, Mark 10 and verse 21, the example of the rich young ruler here, as he's asking what I must do in order to inherit life, what must I do in order to be perfect? And so you get to this spot, and it says, and Jesus looked at him, loved him, loving this man. He loved him, but he had to be honest with him. He said, one thing you lack. Go your way and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and he went away sorrowful for he had great possessions. We think we've done enough by just grabbing some change and putting it in the collection plate or the offering box now with this COVID-19. Or do we make sacrifice? Are we in a little bit of a tight situation? We see, not necessarily, I'm not going to talk about just what you give here on Sunday because it can be you see someone else struggling and you don't have a ton of extra money, but you got a little bit here that you give it to that person that is in need. You see your brother is in need and you say, go, be filled, be warm, but we give him nothing. Again, how does your faith show through your works? I love Jesus, but then we don't follow in his footsteps. Do we make the sacrifice again? Make it clear. I'm not telling everybody to quit their jobs. I'm not telling everybody to go home and put your house up for sale and then just throw all the money away. But let us remember that we are to be making a sacrifice to God. Again, it's probably been a while since I've prayed on this part myself. When's the last time we prayed for a raise so that we can give more back to God? So we give more to help the work of God, to spread the word. We often pray for raises so that we can take more vacations. We pray for the raise so that we can add on to our house, so that we can get that better vehicle. We pray that we can give back more. Let us get in a financial situation so that we can help you better, Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. It brings out here, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If you only come Sunday morning for worship, 1 hour.
Maybe. Maybe a little over now.
Depends how long I want to talk, I guess, right? You only come Sunday nights? Probably less than an hour. Maybe you come Sunday morning and Sunday night. Maybe you come Bible class. Maybe you make it to Bible class Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, and Wednesday night Bible class. 4 hours. I've made my sacrifice this week. 4 hours out of 168 hours. Have you made a sacrifice? Or have you chosen throughout the week to make sure that you set time aside? Though you'd rather, and let me tell you, I can get guilty on this part of, I like to watch TV, I like to watch movies, I like to read books. And I get caught up in reading and watching stuff. Instead of saying, you know, probably be good to go to God in prayer right now. It would be good to study my Bible class a little bit more before worship. It would be good to reach out to my brothers and sisters in Christ. How much time do you give to your service of God? We make sure we get enough time and hours in at work. We make sure we get enough time and hours for sleep. And then we got time and hours that we put in with our family. What do we do for God? Understand, you don't have to separate God from all those other things. Have you made sure to give time while at work to ask if anyone wants to study, if anybody needs your prayers, if anyone would like to come to services? Have you taken the time with your family to sit down and study at home, to study with your family, to pray with your family? Sing, teach and admonish one another in songs and hymns. That doesn't have to be just why we're here together. We can talk about that as a sacrifice too. Oh, I don't like to sing out because my voice is not good. Well, make the sacrifice, embarrass yourself, and sing out. Because as long as we can understand the words coming out of your mouth, you can be teaching and admonishing one another. You can be praising God through the songs that you're singing. Make the sacrifice. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 23, it tells us that we are to daily be taking up our cross and following our Lord. Daily. Every day. There's sayings that we're going to have to say, I've got to do this for my Lord. I had to do this for God. As brought out, other days might be smooth sailing. It might be nice and easy. I hope that when you gather together here on Sundays and on Wednesdays, that it seems to be a little bit easier because you're around brothers and sisters in Christ who are also making that sacrifice to come together, to be with each other, to lift up one another, rather than when you're in the world and they're trying to get you to go the other direction. If it's harder to be here than it is to be away, we need to figure out why. We need to fix it. Are we making a sacrifice? Or are we just getting comfortable with the way we are in this world? You can always be growing in the grace and knowledge and truth of God. There's always so much we can read. I've heard it from so many. I don't think I've ever heard a preacher say, I have studied enough, I don't need to do anymore. Because Because every time someone reads through something, they've already read through, maybe you've read through the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Next time you go through Genesis to Revelation, you pick up on something that you did not catch last time. How many times have we heard it in Bible class? I've never picked up on that before. I've never read that before. Well, you've read it. You just didn't see it in that angle, in that view. There's always more to learn. And we're to be praying without ceasing. There's always time to pray to God. Again, we go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is our reasonable service. It's not out of question. God's not asking too much out of you. Remember the sacrifice He has made. Remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. Whatever God has asked from us is not too much. We should be striving to do our best to fulfill it all the way. I don't want to leave without extending that invitation today. If you're here this morning, you haven't given yourself to God. You haven't set aside pride, fear, whatever it may be. Today's the day that you can make that sacrifice. And understand, as you might be making a sacrifice saying, I'm going to put these things aside, you're gaining so much more. Your sins are forgiven. You've gained a home in heaven. You've received a spirit of adoption. If you're willing to confess your faith and to be baptized into Christ, to wash your sins away, to put sin behind you, we want to encourage you to do that. If we can pray for you, if there's anything else we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day.